Well, hello and good day to you, my friend. This is My Mate Bought a Toaster, the series that dives into people's Amazon purchase histories. Today, my guest is going to be Matt Richardson. Before we get into that, though, I've got to say thank you to our show sponsors this week, who are the brilliant Hot UK Deals. If you haven't checked them out, can I recommend it enough? You can do it in app form. You can Google it. If you're old school, if you're feeling a bit desktop-y today, why not? But get the app, because it's dead good. You just go on the app and then you scroll through all sorts of deals which have been brought to you not by weird, strange corners of the internet, but by loads and loads of people who are themselves just hunting great deals. Over 2 million people looking around and then sharing their favourite deals. I am now getting distracted, as I always do. Oh, look, here's a classic. This always comes up on My Mate Bought a Toaster. Someone's recommending toilet paper. 24-pack of toilet paper. £13.33. That's on Amazon, that deal. There we are. That's very on brand for the show, isn't it? So you just scroll through the app. It's really, really good. It is a bunch of stuff curated by normal human beings just researching great deals. Hot UK Deals. Go and check it out. It's dead good. Congratulations to our winner, because we've got a competition as well. Sophia, she managed to win herself a rather fetching Le Creuset heart casserole dish worth £149. Sophia, please get in touch with the show. We don't have an email for you. So please drop us an email, tom@toasterpod.com, Sophia, tom@toasterpod.com. Thank you very much indeed for that. Our prize for next week, then, if you fancy entering this, is a rather glorious Nespresso Vertuo Next coffee machine. I have got a Vertuo coffee machine. It's so good. If you would like to win that prize, all you got to do is subscribe to us on your podcast platform. Make sure you follow us on Instagram @ToasterPod, on TikTok @ToasterPod, and follow the brilliant Hot UK Deals on TikTok as well. They are @HotUKDeals. Do all those things. And then, this is the final bit, I promise, write a lovely review or any kind of review. Just write an honest review of the show, and then we will pluck a random one to win a very glorious Nespresso Vertuo Next machine. They're so good, because you get big coffees. You can get like a big sort of coffee you'd get from a coffee shop. Do you know what I mean? Like a pint of hot milkshake. Them's my vibes. Okay, should we crack on with the show then? Matt Richardson, what a wonderful guest. I think you're going to love this one as much as I love him. Here we go. Oh, when I need a laugh, there's a helping people. But Tom's talking to these funny people. He's asking what they find in the town stories. Can somebody yell out the name of the show, please? It's My Mate Bought a Toaster. Oh, oh. It's My Mate Bought a Toaster. Yeah, yeah. It's My Mate Bought a Toaster. Welcome along, it's My Mate Bought a Toaster. My guest today is the brilliant comedian, broadcaster, writer, journalist, traveller, bin man, driver. It's Matt Richardson.
Thank you so much for having me.
It's great that you're here. Welcome to the Amazon confessional sofa.
Yep.
All of your Amazon sins. Amazons? Amazons.
Amazon.
Amazon?
Have you said that before?
No.
That's 5 years, and that's the first time you've said
yeah.
that.
Yeah. This is the Amazon. Think of this as the Amazon sin bin. Amazon sin. I'll work it up.
Yeah, yeah.
Amazons. Just, you know, it's a safe space. We're not recording at all. There's no audio or cameras here.
I think I'm fine, but I'm worried. I probably have bought sex products on Amazon before at some point.
Okay. Well, we've had that. We've dealt with that before.
Okay, cool.
Imagine this is like, you know, your GP surgery telling them about a sex issue.
But just on a podcast, if my GP had a podcast.
Yeah. Which could be a good way of GPs making ends meet now. That could be quite a nice way of making
well, look,
that work.
The only rich GP I know is Adam Kay.
Yeah, of course.
So the secret to a good career in medicine is write a book about it.
There you go. That's the answer.
Do something else.
What we're going to do, Matt, is dive into your Amazon past.
Yes.
Okay, and we're going back to the first thing you ever bought on Amazon.
First thing I ever bought on Amazon.
Can you remember?
It goes back that far.
Welcome to the show.
I think it will be a DVD, because I was a teenager when I started using Amazon.
Well, it was a DVD in the sense that it was certainly a disc with digital information on it, but I wouldn't say it was a DVD. It was a computer game for the PlayStation 2.
Oh, my God.
Which you bought 11th of December 2006.
Oh, my God.
What was the game? Come on.
I couldn't even tell you. I wasn't even a big PlayStation player, really. I sort of dabbled, but I wasn't a big gamer.
No.
What is it?
Outrun 2006, Coast to Coast.
Oh my God, it's a driving game.
Yeah.
I bought it for my brother.
Ah.
It wasn't for, I bought it so I could play it with my brother. Yeah, I remember it because it had a really good, it had an amazing soundtrack. It was all sort of like Blink 182, Sum 41 and things like that, which I was really into at the time. I say at the time like I haven't seen Fall Out Boy in the last year.
or Blink. On. Yeah, completely changed the tone.
Yeah. You know, I was wasted on Virgin Miller. I should have been on Kerrang. but yeah, oh my goodness. That has flooded back memories.
It's a nice thing to buy. I mean, how old were you buying a present for your brother then?
2015. My brother's quite a bit younger than me, though. I've got there's an 8-year age gap.
I feel like that's really sweet, buying your brother a present.
Because you could play it together.
Yeah, no, I get it. But, like, I don't think I bought my brother's presents until I was, like, 22.
Really?
How old are you when you start buying your siblings good Christmas presents?
I had a really good paper round, so I was a bit flush. Like, I was getting, like, 10p a paper.
Right, okay.
I was getting 10p a paper, and I was doing 202 papers.
And Didcot as well, so presumably all the Daily Mail.
Oh, that yeah. It was the Didcot Herald, actually. but that is very right-wing. Like, it's very right-wing around there.
That's interesting. Local papers never get a reputation for being right or left-wing. It's always the sort of nationals that have their left or their right. You never get, like, oh, Monmouthshire Beacon. That is so left-wing. I cannot read that lefty rag.
I mean, they're always talking about the roads. I think if you moan about potholes, that's inherently right wing.
Yes. Oh my God.
And I mean, look, I live in the countryside now. I hate potholes. I've become right wing, I think.
So when did you move to the countryside? When did that happen?
A year ago.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
And do you feel, have you felt any serious worldview changes?
Well, no, because like I'm still like the liberal city guy that's come into the village. But sometimes in the village, they're very like, because I live in a very short story. I live in like this weird new village they've built attached to an old village, and they've like renamed it.
Right.
And it's very Truman Show.
Yes. And what's it called? Can you say?
Hayford Park is where I live in Oxfordshire.
It's not near that massive old RAF base, is it?
It's on it, yeah.
I went and picked up a car from there, and I went into that actual village.
Yeah, so
are you
Yeah, I live there.
I could have bumped into Matt Richardson. I barely saw any humans there, and I was
weird.
I was trying to pick up my car, and I was like, "It's on the old RAF base that's just there." And the people in the cafe were like, "You don't want to go there."
Oh yeah, so the new bit's fine because everyone's moved there.
Lovely.
But the old village,
yes,
they're very like. Oh, we went to have a drink in the pub recently, and we sat down, and this girl, we're chatting to this girl in the pub, and she goes, "Oh, you live in the city, don't you?" And I went, "I live 300 yards away in Hayford Park." And she goes, "Yeah, we call that the city." They're very like they don't want refugees. They don't like people coming from there. Like one of my girlfriend's book club friends lives in the old village, and they leave notes going, "People like you ruin villages," because she moved there from 6 miles away. It's so insular.
I was going in a kind of this is a joke sort of way.
No, very like, oh yeah, you. We don't go, like, I run a comedy night where I live, right? A nice fun thing to do.
Of course.
We did it once in the village, and we now do it in Hayford Park. And the village people always go.
Usually they're a great audience.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? They'll dance.
They're very up for it. But they go, oh, when are you doing the village hall again? I go, we run it up there now. And they go, we don't go up there.
Wow.
They won't come to the hotel because it's in the new bit. Yeah, it's very strange living in a village.
Okay, good. So village life, we'll come back to that in a bit. We're going back in time though, obviously, to explore this. So you bought the present for your brother. That's very sweet. I love that. Having a younger brother, has that always made you, you know, do you feel quite protective of him? Do you feel like sort of spare parent with that gap?
My mum always says she's got two only children.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's such a big gap. And I'm sort of, we're not like pals. He's very much my little brother, even though he's 25.
Yeah.
He's I'm very sort of protective and look after him. Also, he's autistic, my brother, as well. So, like, there's a lot of like looking after him and sort of trying to shield him from the horrible world.
Yeah, that's nice.
Yeah,
though.
He's great, but he's a grave digger.
Right?
That's his job. He's a grave, he digs graves
really?
For a living. Yeah.
That's what he does.
Yeah, he's a grave digger.
Wow.
Can we get him on? Yeah, you can have him on.
I think that's more interesting than another comic, to be honest.
Another man in his 30s who does stand up.
Welcome to the show. that's amazing. So he digs graves.
Well, he's a groundskeeper for the council, but a big part of his job is digging graves.
Wow.
And it was on his first day, he had to go into the grave because it was a wicker coffin. I mean, these bloody hippies. And they lower the coffin down on sort of like ropes.
Well, presumably for the hippie with it was like hemp or something.
Yeah, yeah. But he got caught in the wicker of the coffin, so he had to go into the grave to get the lead out from under the coffin.
On day one.
That was his first grave
day. And he thought, this is the job for me.
This is it.
I would, if I was a grave digger, which I can imagine is a very satisfying job, I would really play with it. I'd wear all black. Do you know what I mean?
Really?
I'd get more and more gothic. just to scare people more than anything else.
Black digger.
Develop a limp. Get a black digger.
Develop.
Do you know what I mean? Just like a slightly sinister limp. Just walking
just a
around.
Sinister sort of like a cemetery guy.
Yeah. Exactly. Exactly.
Oh, we better leave the grave diggers here.
That's right. Yeah. There he is with his spade. Oh, what so many embarrassing things? Pink CDs and a toddler dancing. God, the tangents already. Okay, good, Matt Richardson. That was your 2006. 08, lots of stuff in 2008. Six orders, which is quite a lot. I can see school stuff here. This is classic.
What school stuff?
Well, or at least studying stuff. Brave New World, Aldous Huxley.
Yep.
Coleridge, Lyrical Ballads, 1984, and Hamlet.
That was my A-level English, yeah. Mm. That screams A-level, doesn't it?
Those books are... Does anyone...
This is amazing because, like, this is like, I feel so nostalgic and warm doing this.
Yeah.
It's really reminding me of things I haven't thought about for years. This is a great thing.
Thanks, mate.
I'm gonna leave and do the rest of my Amazon if we don't do now.
Oh, well, we're going to be here for 9 hours.
Okay.
We're doing all of your Amazon. Well, it is because it's a real, like, it's a mirror looking back at you, and it's a mirror you didn't know was there. It's so interesting when you see that version of yourself who was.
Yeah, it's awful.
Buying things like, for example, Airline Tycoon. On the 2nd of December 2008.
Airline Tycoon is... I was really into the Tycoon games. Airline Tycoon. Roller Coaster Tycoon.
You said that like Zoo I'll Tycoon. Be like, oh, yeah, the Tycoon games. Yeah, that... No, I need more.
Basically, so you like the... Well, the Roller Coaster Tycoon, you build a theme park and run it.
Okay.
And the zoo ones that... Airline Tycoon is essentially a spreadsheet.
Wait. But a lot of these games are like the Football Manager. It's just looking at, often men, looking at numbers and seeing them go up.
And that was my version of Football Manager, was airline. So I'm really into planes. I've always been a plane geek,
Is that why you live by a disused RAF base?
No, that's happy coincidence.
Oh, okay, but a very happy coincidence.
A very happy coincidence. but yeah, I like planes, and like, so that sort of feeds into all of that. I'm sure you'll find maybe like a flight simulator game in there.
Okay.
Things like that. That was my childhood.
How did you get into planes? Especially growing up in Didcot, very much a trains vibe. Didcot.
Very much a trains, but I'm not one of those losers.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
It's really sad because I subscribe to a magazine called Airliner World, right?
Wow. Yep. Okay. Great.
Just like the airline industry magazine.
Yeah.
You know, all about the new deliveries, new models that are developing, all this. Love it.
Yeah.
And whenever when I wasn't a subscriber, when I used to buy it in WH Smith's, people would be reading picking up the train magazine. I'd be like, look at that. Pathetic. Whilst, because there's a row of magazines. It goes buses.
Yeah.
Trains, planes. You think that just gets sexier as it goes on.
Yeah.
Who's...
Does it go towards the top shelf? Is that how that works?
Well, it is quite high, I think.
All right, so Airline Tycoon. Some great reviews.
I still have that on my computer. I still play Airline Tycoon occasionally.
Well, can I just say, Micmac bought it in 2012. I thought this game was going to be really fun, like Zoo Tycoon, famously. But it's just not. There's not much to the game. Set out flight plans, have meetings. That's about it. Do you have meetings?
There are meetings in the game.
So do you say to people, sorry, I've got to go off.
You have an office and you go for a meeting, but also you have to do things like buy your petrol for the planes. You've got to buy gasoline. And you're like, do I pre-buy at this price or do I see where the market goes?
Oh, wow.
Like it's quite good like that. You've got to buy your planes. You don't fly anything at any point. There's no thing where you fly a plane.
So you never get off the ground.
You never leave the airport.
So this is sort of like a fantasy pen pusher, basically.
Pretty much, yeah. It's like a biz, and then you go and like work out what routes you want, and you bid for routes, and you bid for slots. Like it's.
I like the idea that these games sort of gamify admin, and then here's a predictable question. How are you at actual real-life admin?
Dreadful.
What? Like, awful. Why don't they make... Matt Richardson Tycoon.
Never paid a tax bill on time.
Oh, Matthew.
That's what they need is Tax Tycoon, and I'd be all over it.
You Tycoon. It's a picture of you on it.
You Tycoon.
Matt Richardson Tycoon, and it all explains...
Just run my life.
Yeah. Oh, like I've got a meeting to go to. I've got to try and get myself a new show presenting something. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly. I can't do it.
That's hilarious. 2009 now, Matt, and plenty of purchases over the year, 22 over the year, which is definitely a healthy amount. Lots of music, essential reggae, of course.
Did I buy essential reggae?
Yeah, of course you did.
Did I?
Yeah, you did.
Oh my God, this is so embarrassing. Essential reggae.
Also, we can very much chart your academic journey because earlier on we had you buying Hamlet, right, for school study. And here we are in January 09 buying Hamlet, York Notes Advanced. It's a classic journey. We see it every time. They really should be a 2-for-1, shouldn't they? Or they should just not bother with the original.
Yeah, I mean...
It's amazing. I bought Hamlet. I'm going to read this book 6 months later. I need the York Notes.
Yeah.
Can I have it in stupid? Is that available in...
Hamlet for Dummies.
Yeah, it It is. It is.
Listen. That's really funny.
And how did the... Was it NA level you were studying?
A level.
How did that go in English?
English, A.
And I can see that you're a deep thinker as well, Matt Richardson, because on the 8th of March 2009... No, and this is a sign that you're doing English A level. Jordan, A Whole New World by Katie Price.
Did I buy... What, her book?
£5 spent on that. Yeah.
I wonder why. That feels like a present.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my God. That was my... I remember now. My girlfriend at the time, it was for her mum.
Wow.
Yeah, yeah.
Buttering up the future in-law.
Yeah, yeah. Well, no, she's not the future. She's long gone.
No.
She's not dead, obviously.
Fine,
okay. But, you know.
Yeah, yeah, good.
Yeah, that was for her mum. Her mum wanted the Jordan book. Oh, my God. I remember that Christmas. You know what? Someone needs to warn 17-year-olds. One day you might be on a podcast where all this shit comes to bite you in the arse.
Yeah, 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 yeah. Do archive all of your purchases. It's very, very simple. But also, I like the idea of a young Matt Richardson sitting on Christmas Day just watching her open it. So, yeah? Is that what you wanted?
Yeah.
Jordan?
She'd read all of them. Because there's loads. Jordan has a lot of books.
Yeah, she's a clever, clever person.
She's never written them, but
no,
like,
all,
she's...
She's open about them in ghostwritten, but A Whole New World, this is actually her.
Is it?
I don't think this is fiction. Well, I can't find it because when you click through, it's not there anymore. The book's been cancelled.
It's out of print.
Out of print, exactly. Which is quite a challenge when you can buy them digitally. All right, good. Elsewhere, yeah, like you say, lots of movies. Python, Jaws, Seven, Forrest Gump. This is...
Like classics, right?
Yeah. In Bruges. God, this is a good collection. I wish I'd
done
this.
In Bruges is still my favourite film.
Do you feel guilty when you watch a movie in the day?
No.
That's a skill.
Do you feel guilty when you watch a movie in the day? Why?
I just feel guilty.
I work nights.
I know, but I mean, I just feel, I don't know what it is. I think I've got this awful sort of Victorian work ethic, which I seem to have picked up from my grandfather or something.
But,
and I just feel bad. I feel like I should
be doing
something.
What is the point of doing drive time on the radio if you want to work hard?
Yeah.
What a waste that is on you.
Oh God, I'm wasting my life. Okay.
Come on.
Would it be weird if I texted you next time I'm about to watch a movie at like 10 a.m.
yeah,
to get your permission?
Yeah, that's fine. You knock yourself out.
Like a sort of substitute,
you know,
dad.
What?
Like, it's okay, son.
We'll do a watch along.
That I would love. Now
text
that,
about it.
That I would love.
We'll do an In Bruges watch along and talk about it as we're going.
Okay, good, fine.
Yeah.
That's not a joke. I want to do that.
Yeah, yeah, that's great. I'll do it.
All right, look, let's move on, okay? We're going to power on through now and we're going to see what's happening with Matt Richardson. 2010, only 7 orders placed. We've got Football Manager in there. We've got comedy starting to come through. Comedy rearing its ugly head in your life at this point?
By 20, I was doing stand-up then.
Good God. How old were you when you started?
18.
All right, Ross
Noble. My first gig was... 2009.
Wow, okay.
I've been going, that's depressing, 15 years.
Yeah, you have been going 15 years, yeah.
I've been going nearly half my life.
Oh, I love it when people who've been famously young on the circuit start to get a bit old and jaded.
Fuck.
Oh, that's great. Keep doing this, I'm really loving this.
I'm so over it.
Yeah. It's so annoying.
I've only got
8 jokes, so bloody hell, it's been a long 20
years.
Oh
my God, mate, me too.
It's unreal. All right, so comedy's happening there.
Lots of stand-up DVDs.
Stand-up, Milton Jones. We're getting also the classic sign of stand-up incoming as we go to 2011, Matt Richardson, the Moleskine Large Plain Notebook.
Yes!
Love that.
How often does that come up
in a
stand-up?
A lot, because people obviously use it. It's the classic way of writing notes, but I fear that people now write notes on their phone.
So I do, but I still have a physical notebook.
Do you?
Always have a physical notebook.
Yeah.
And I mean, this one says 2024 show and it's got 3 entries in from 2022. But I've just started again. Like when you start, you do your set list, don't you? Write out, even if it's bullet points, you sort of really have to think about it.
Yes.
And then as you gig loads, you don't do it anymore. But I've started to again.
Yeah.
Just because I'm trying to write a new show and I'm trying to put newer bits in.
The depressing thing I find about doing that is that, yeah, you write out your set list.
And it doesn't change.
Same. Every page you're like, oh God. Find us on Twitter and Instagram at ToasterPod is the name we're trying to jam. It's simple like a Sony film with cheese and ham. At ToasterPod, at ToasterPod, at ToasterPod, I swear it's not a scam, I think. Cognitive Behavioural Therapy for Dummies, that's interesting. That's on the 1st of January. So it's like a new year.
I don't remember. I did have CBT. I've got OCD.
Right.
So I had CBT for it. And this was when it was, when's this? 2010? 2011?
12 this now.
2012. Mm. Yeah, this was when it was bad and I hadn't been to a doctor yet. So I was like, I can sort it out myself.
Hey, nice, nice.
And it was in the end just medication.
That's right. Okay.
Yeah,
so did
yeah.
you even read the book?
I don't think. I couldn't even tell you where it went in my life.
It's a difficult book to read in a cafe. isn't it? To sit reading cognitive behavioural therapy. I mean, not that there is any shame.
No.
Any, of course, in any of the stuff. But you don't feel self-conscious.
I read out and about, like on the train and stuff. I read a lot, but because I travel so much. It's not a travel book.
No, it's big.
Yeah, it's like when people used to buy, you know, the Harry Potter books with the adult covers.
Yeah. I mean, that is ridiculous. The ditto as well, 50 Shades of Grey.
Covers. This is, that's one of those. You're sort of a bit embarrassed about reading that. I would have been anyway at that point.
What I would love to do is go and see a therapist, sit down on the sofa, much like our Amazon sofa, to do therapy and then just see Cognitive Behavioural Therapy for Dummies on the side. Sorry, is that yours? Yeah, tell me everything.
I would love it if you went into... the podcast I do is about politics, right? Well, it's not really, but it is. And we bought Politics for Dummies for the recording, just as a little funny thing.
Lovely.
Wouldn't it be great if you went into, like, Downing Street?
Yeah.
And that's... Just every time you went and met the Prime Minister, there's Politics for Dummies or International Relations.
I think that would be a bit advanced for Rishi Sunak. 15th of February 2013, day after Valentine's Day, right?
Oh, no.
Feeling a bit frisky. 50 Shades Darker, the number one Sunday Times bestseller. Bought the E.L. James porn book.
I've never read them, so that must have been for someone else.
Right, okay, sure.
15th of February, who would that have been for?
It's a late Valentine's present. That is insulting on every possible level, isn't it?
Yeah, like I'm the only person buying it on the 15th of Feb, aren't I?
Yeah. Maybe heavily discounted after Valentine's Day. Just got to ship these away now.
It's like buying your Christmas crackers on the 26th, isn't it?
So you've never read The 50 Shades?
I don't know. Not to my knowledge.
Okay.
That sounds like a yes, doesn't it? Not to my knowledge.
But then also, what's weird is on the 23rd of February, 8 days later, you bought 50 Shades Darker again. You've bought it twice.
Have I?
Yes. There it is there.
That's really weird.
And there it is there.
Oh.
Yeah. It's a lot of...
Got stuck together. Like,
that's what it was.
Yeah.
That's what it is.
That's the secret to selling so many books. Just people can't open them again after they've read them once.
Gonna need to get a new copy. 9th of June 2013, heavy duty clothes rail garment. Someone moving house, maybe? Or set yourself up?
No, not moving house. Just got that. I tell you why I bought that. Because I started. What date was that?
That was
June.
June. Yeah.
So I just started filming The Extra Factor, June 2013.
Oh my God.
So when I did that years ago,
of course.
And all of a sudden they went, well, you need different clothes for every show, and every day that we film and all this stuff. Yeah. So they gave me, I had a clothes budget and, you know, a stylist that came in. About them.
Do you still have any of the clothes from there?
I probably do. Yeah. I don't know if they'd fit me.
I have a similar thing. I got a show on MTV in 2005 and that's, you know, a while ago now. And I still have a couple of shirts that they bought me and put them on and go, free. Look awful. Very baggy. Very weird.
Just very. Like,
not fitted.
Not the right style, 2005, is it? It's not quite come back yet.
So, X Factor, what was it? You presented the sort of the spin-off show.
I did the spin-off show, yeah.
That was a huge moment.
Yeah, it was my first TV gig.
And how long had you been doing stand-up before that happened?
God, 3.5 years, 4 years, okay. Not very long.
And how was it, the show?
Brilliant fun. Because, like, all of a sudden, I was living at home still with my mum and dad.
Great.
And then all of a sudden, they're like, right, you're doing all the auditions, fine. You're doing judges' houses. Like, so we went all over the world. It was wild. And I've never done anything kind of like of that production size again.
Yeah.
Where you go, like, it's a travelling circus, basically.
Yeah. So, you know, you're in the middle of it.
And it's chaos. It's brilliant. And it was chaos. It was great fun.
And you cope with it because some people might find themselves in the centre of that and they just don't have the mental... Obviously, you've got cognitive behavioural therapy for dummies.
I know what I'm doing. I'm chill.
But you didn't let the pressure get to you? You didn't get, get your heads?
Also, like, I was like a competition winner. Like, so I was just... I couldn't believe... Because I'd been to all the meetings for it and I'd done all the, like, the screen tests and everything. And I knew, because it was in the paper who they were... Like, because it was Ollie Mears I replaced.
Yes.
And because it was Ollie Mears, there was, like, a big thing of who's going to replace Ollie Mears. Yeah. And they were like... you know, it's like Nick Grimshaw, Greg James, like all these people going in for it, Marvin Humes. And I was like, well, I'm never going to get this job because I'm like a gigging comic who's never, I've been on maybe the 50 greatest body shockers awful clip show. And I was like, well, they're never going to give it to me, so it doesn't really matter. God. And then they did. So I was like, well, so I was just thrown into it. And I just was like, yep, great. This is brilliant fun.
I just went for it.
Yeah.
That is such a good way to do it. That's always the way, isn't it? Certainly with gigs as well.
I'd probably be really stressed about a job like that.
Yes. But so is that then the thing of youth when you just go in and go, amazing.
Yeah, I was 22. Like, it was just, yeah, I'll go and host that. Whereas now it would be, I'd find it like a stressful thing to do, I think. Because I'd be going, God, well, I need this to work because, you know, and also as a comic then, I just like doing stand-up. Like I wasn't one of those acts that was like, I've got a career plan and I want to do this. I remember doing my So You Think You're Funny final, the competition when you knew. Romesh was in my final with me. And Romesh is still a really good friend of mine. And I've just been on tour with him. And even the other day, he was like, God, you were so annoying in that final because I couldn't believe my luck I was there. And so I was like, this is great. Whereas they were all like, Romesh was annoyed he didn't place. Like he didn't come first, second or third. And he's like, well, I'm not going to get anywhere in my career now if I want to do this as a job. Ra's like, can't believe this has happened.
And just doing another gig. See what happens.
Well, oh my God, they put me in this. Great. I'm a winner just being here.
Have you kept that attitude now with stuff?
Yeah, I try to. Sometimes you get a bit in your head about it, about like, why aren't I doing X, Y and Z and all that. But I...
No good going there. Don't go to your head. There's nothing to be won out of that situation.
There is nothing bad about it. Like, even when this job is bad, it's still a, like, I still make a living talking essentially about my penis and my Amazon. Like, I even came in today, like, I'm doing this and I'm doing my podcast this afternoon. I was like, I have a day where all I'm doing is talking. Like, that's all I have to do and that's my life.
Predominantly sitting down as well.
It's a dream. Like,
that's the dream.
This is great. Like, how could you not think this was brilliant? Just sitting with someone. I've not seen you for ages. And we've just sat down and, like, shot the shit all day.
It is utterly, utterly brilliant. And the only thing that can spoil it is getting up in your head and comparing yourself.
It's a nightmare. And also, I'm very, like, I think when Virgin ended, when I was at Virgin, and that was coming to an end, like, I've said this before, but, like, it was awful. Like, they were, like, gaslighting me out, basically, like saying I wasn't doing the right thing but not telling me what to do, like all this, and it was so awful, like it was the worst 6 months ever, like I had a bloody mental breakdown about it nearly. That I went, I'm okay with, I nearly left all of it, like I was like, I'm gonna do something else. And that moment when I went, I'm cool walking away, is when I started to finally enjoy it again.
It's so liberating.
When you go, I'm cool to go and sit in an office, actually. I've done it now. I've done it for 15 years. Like, if it ended tomorrow, I had a great run.
There's been some great stuff. I met Simon Cowell.
I met Simon Cowell. He forgot my name. I went up to
him. Live TV, countless times?
No, no, because he wasn't on my year. It was Gary, I was a Gary Barlow year.
Oh, I see.
I was a fallow year for Simon year.
I was going to say.
It's like Glastonbury. You've got to take a break from Simon sometimes.
Yeah, weirdly, but Simon's plastic surgeon was very busy that year. Strange coincidence.
Really busy. Yeah. I think he said my name wrong, but it might have been Matthew Littleton because he does, you know, no movement in his face. I did go up to him drunk at the Pride of Britain's after I'd, because I only did 1 year on that show.
Right.
And then they got rid, it was me and Caroline Flack, and they got rid of us the year after.
Right.
Excuse me, that wasn't me getting sad. I was
Burnt. No.
I went up to him at the Pride of Britain Awards the next year and asked him, I was like, I've just started my P45 yet. And he did not find that funny.
Wow, did he?
He was like, what are you talking? I don't think he remembered me because he wasn't on my year.
And then you happened to dig, going, no, well, I did the, so do you remember last year, it's Matt and I did as celebrity encounters go, that's right up there.
That's a bad one, isn't it? Going, asking Simon Cowell for your P45 and he didn't remember he employed you.
Because also Simon Cowell, you'd assume, has a lot of P45s on him at all times.
Yeah, he's firing people left, right and centre. Zayn, there you go. What's your worst celebrity encounter then?
I mean, there's been a few. I guess there was a particularly bad one. This is quite a protracted story and I'm not sure I've got time, but I'll do it quickly. My dog walker was called Mark and we'd walk on a field where you'd also often see Mark Gatiss, who was one of my absolute top five heroes.
Yeah, of course.
And I could see Mark Gatiss at the corner of my eye. And I had a dog who knew her dog walker was called Mark. And it's so fucking weird. I'm standing in the field and I can see dog walker Mark. And I was going, Polly, look, where's Mark? Where's Mark? Thinking there's Gatiss over there. Where's Mark? And I still don't understand why she was doing this. Polly went like a beeline to Mark Gatiss. And Mark Gatiss then thought that I'd been saying to my dog, where's Mark? Go and talk to Mark. And I didn't know Mark Gatiss, like, at all.
Did you
how do I explain that to him?
Did you explain it to him?
I tried to, but then I fucked that up as well.
Oh my God.
I've since got to know him a bit better and it's fine.
Does he remember it?
I can't talk about it. I talk to his husband Ian a lot. He's really nice and I feel comfortable. Mark's the loveliest guy ever.
I just
can't do it.
Oh, you've got to bring that up.
But can you imagine someone going, where's Matt? Where's Matt? And some random dog coming up to you and then some random person doing, I was like, no, Mark. I meant the dog walker, Mark. Hi, Mark. I mean, I know who you are. It was awful.
Oh my God. That makes my skin crawl. That's beautiful.
It's made my mouth go dry.
Oh, that's fed me for the day.
Where we're going, we'll be showing that we listen to toast. Cause these lovely ass people gonna talk to the host.
He's gonna ask a couple questions.
What they're buying the most, cause one man goddamn just likes a piece of toast.
Welcome back to part two of My Mate Bought a Toaster with the fantastic Matt Richardson. Before we get back into Richardson's Amazon purchase history, and there are some very, very good bits coming up, let me tell you. I've just got time to tell you about False Economy. It's a podcast with Vix Layton and Paul Watson. It's when they dig into their guests' retail quirks, from the best bargains to the worst rip-offs to the thing they buy the most, all sorts of stuff. They have great guests on. They have great chat. Some episodes recently include talking about retirement, talking about electric vehicles. A brilliant episode from February was called How Much It Costs to Become a Witch. Everything's got a price. So that is the fabulous False Economy with Vix Layton and Paul Watson. It's a great podcast. Go and have a listen after you have completed this week's My Mate Bought a Toaster, which continues at all good movie theatres now. 20th of June, 2014. Lovely bit of rosé, a metallic bottle of rosé for Mandy.
Oh, yeah, that's my mum. Mandy's my
lovely.
Mum. Is it the Bottega?
Yeah, it's the Bottega.
Yeah, it's her favourite. It's Prosecco.
You've bought your mum Prosecco in a metal bottle.
Yeah, yeah. It's like, it's really nice Prosecco. She loves it.
You're travelling the world. You're doing the X Factor spin-off show and you've spent...
That's me going, there you go, mum. What date was that?
$34.99.
I just moved to London then. The 2nd of June, did you say?
Yeah, 30th. Yeah,
30th
yeah,
of June.
Yeah.
So I'd moved to London that month. That was when I just left home.
God, you had proper streets of paved with gold, didn't you?
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
Living in a grimy flat in Kilburn.
Oh, love it.
Absolutely awful.
It's obligatory. It's
and
what you have to
because
do.
Because we went in and viewed it, and the guy was like, oh, I'm going to repaint it. And it was white, this flat. And it was sort of like, you know when they've turned a house into way too many flats? Like, it was two rooms. It was like a living room, kitchen, and a bedroom with a bathroom that they'd put this metal shower in, and they didn't have a light over it, so you'd shut the curtain, and it'd be pitch black. And the top of the shower was a painted cardboard box.
What do you mean?
Like,
they'd actually put gloss paint on
it. Put a gloss, a white gloss paint on the cardboard box they'd used as like the ceiling for this. Obviously, what was like a metal shower thing you just slot in.
Oh, wow.
And the guy was like, don't worry, I'm going to paint it. It's fine. Yeah. And we got in the day we moved in, and he painted the entire flat canary yellow.
Like, why?
It's obviously all he had around.
Wow.
And it was like canary yellow. And me and my...
I mean, that is a comedy colour.
Girlfriend, yeah. Whoa. Me and my girlfriend at the time moved in, we were like, well, this is going to be miserable. And we haven't been going out very long when we moved in together because like, I was moving to London. She was like, I need somewhere to live. Classic.
Oh, lordy.
And we did that thing of going, well, we'll find out if it works or not.
And did it?
No. Within within 3 weeks, I'd say that relationship was over, but we had a 6-month lease. So we stayed together till the end.
That is.
And it was just a fucking nightmare.
Delicious.
It was awful.
In my heart, this is over. On paper, we're together for another 5 months.
Yeah, but also, like, because it was such a small flat, it was two rooms.
Yeah.
You couldn't escape each other either. It was a disaster.
That's the problem as well. If you work from home, you don't have a proper job and you're both.
And yeah, neither of us, we were around all the time. So she was trying to become an influencer at the time. And like, so it was, not great.
God.
Love it. Yeah, I remember that. I remember because I just moved to London.
It's becoming a theme on the show that we find people's broken relationships. Little things.
Yeah, just trigger
sort of,
it.
Yeah, just trigger the whole thing. 2016 now, you bought the Logitech Pro Flight Yoke System. 19th of December. This has got Christmas present here. This is 140 quid you spent.
I bought that for myself.
Wow.
So it's like a flight, you know, a yoke for a plane.
Yeah.
So you can play Flight Simulator.
Properly.
With like the... Yeah.
Did you make that noise when you played it?
No, it does it itself. Okay. Oh, come on. I just do the onboard announcements myself.
This is outstanding.
I used to do the flight from London when I was a teenager. I'd do the flight from London to New York in real time.
I mean,
you'd program some weather on the way, so it'd be all right.
So, you wouldn't know when it was going to come. Suddenly, you'd be like, oh,
like, oh, turbulence over the Atlantic.
Turbulence, just take a slight left. Wow, that is incredible.
Yeah, sad, right?
And like, would you just like show us the physical action of when you're playing that game?
You drive around the airport, get to the runway.
That's quite exciting.
Yeah, do the takeoff.
Do you genuinely do an announcement? Do you have to do an announcement?
No, you don't have to, but you
I would.
Yeah, I do. And then take off.
Mm-hmm. Oh, hang on, you did something there. Don't just brush over that.
So you pull towards you to take off.
Lovely. Yeah.
You level off. You know, get out the airport, then autopilot.
So you're not even flying the whole thing.
No.
You just press a button for autopilot.
And then you can, but then there's buttons that you do your announcements on the air traffic control. Like you can pick your options to go, oh, and you've got to switch air traffic controls and things. But
wow.
Yeah, you literally go, boop.
And do you like nip downstairs, make a cup of tea, and you're like, sorry, I can't chat, I'm on a flight to
New York. I can't believe I'm going to tell you this story. I used to put films on and watch them and pretend they were the in-flight entertainment.
That is so sad. That is so tragic.
I lost my virginity as late as you'd imagine. Oh, my God.
Surely, if you lost your virginity whilst doing that, were you simulating the Mile High Club?
Yeah. Well, I mean, yeah, the solo Mile High Club, the half Mile High Club.
We've all done that.
Yeah.
We haven't. We absolutely haven't. Wow, Matt.
Sorry, I can't. God. That's really embarrassing. But So I'm like 24 there, so I bought that quite late.
Very close to Christmas as well.
What date is that?
19th of December.
2015?
It's 16.
2016.
I mean, that's recently.
So that I was living, I was at Virgin at that point.
Yeah.
You were at Virgin. Yeah, yeah. My virginity, yeah. You get your virginity back with those when you buy them. It's like a special, like, twofer.
They hand you your card.
Yeah,
I've seen this for years. Wow. All right, Matt Richardson, we are learning so much about you. Hopefully you're learning stuff about yourself. Any conclusions so far as we start to sort of, I think, how can I, maybe we've just taken autopilot off. We're starting to think about the approach to the end of the show at this stage. So where are we at in terms of?
We do buy a lot of stuff in bulk on Amazon now, like toilet paper, cleaning liquids, all that. So we just have loads of it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
No, we get into a lot of boring stuff, I think, now in my Amazon.
But that's fine because like the that sort of tells halcyon, the story of your life.
The halcyon days of like discovering Fight Club, playing Flight Simulator. Yeah. And now it's sort of going into, you know, discovering the works of Shakespeare. Yeah. And now it's like, oh, I need some sellotape.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But in the mundanity, we'll find revelations. Okay. If someone could put that into Latin, that's sort of the catchphrase for this whole show. In mundanity, we are finding revelations. Could you email me, please? tom@toasterpod.com. Thanks very much indeed. I really appreciate that. 2022 is the random year I'm going to jump at, all right?
Yeah.
1st of January 2022, you know, a couple of years ago, on the 1st of January, you bought Cognitive Behavioural Therapy for Dummies. On the 1st of January 2022... Green Day, Bullet in a Bible on Prime Video.
Oh, yes. I mean, yes.
I would suggest that as a more powerful, effective way to approach the new year.
I am, Green Day are kind of like my teenage band that I loved and sort of, I mean, I say that like I don't still really like them.
They're brilliant.
They're fantastic. I'm going to see them this year.
Are you, where?
Glasgow.
Oh, fantastic.
Yeah, yeah. I'm going with my two friends that we grew up listening to Green Day together.
And will you mosh?
No, I'm not a mosher. I will sing, but I'm not a mosher.
For a second, I thought you said I will sit down. And I think the day you sit down at a Green Day concert, that's dignitas. Do you know what I mean?
Well, look, the thing is, like, I did recently, like, I went to see Fall Out Boy in October, and it was fantastic, but I wish I got seats.
Do you have the lower back moment?
Yeah, just...
stretching out.
You know, when there's a couple of the songs that you're like, oh, these are the newer ones that I don't really know anymore, that the youngsters are really enjoying. You're
right,
like,
right.
God, just play Sugar We're Going Down, for God's sake. But yeah, so Green Day, it's so Bullet in a Bible was my first ever... That's filmed, so it's their live concert film from 2005, which was the first gig I ever went to at the Milton Keynes Bowl.
Right.
So that was my first ever gig. And I own that as a physical... DVD
nice,
as well.
Good.
But I couldn't find it and obviously was like feeling nostalgic for it.
It is
a fantastic concert.
That is where we're at now. I own it physically, but I couldn't be bothered to walk upstairs.
I didn't know where it was.
So I just bought it from the cloud. That's just, that's beautiful.
That's just classic, isn't it?
That's where we've got to. And we wonder why we're all getting fat.
Yeah.
Matt, this has been an interesting journey into your inner life. I've enjoyed it. And we are coming to 2022 and I feel like there's a big... you know, turning into a new chapter here.
Yeah.
1st of February, large storage boxes, large roll of bubble wrap, clear packing tape. I'm sensing a move. If you bought that stuff and you weren't moving...
I'm getting rid of a body.
Exactly right.
Yeah, yeah,
exactly
it's
right.
One of two things.
Yeah, it's a kill room and it's a burial.
Look, imagine the first podcast that solves a crime that isn't a true crime podcast.
That would be great. If we could cross the genres, that would be ideal.
Yeah, we were moving. We left London, so... my goodness. So we left in the June. Mm-hmm. So we'd sold off. We were looking to sell. So we're putting stuff into storage, basically to
putting your objects in prison.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, God.
Making the flat kind of like empty.
So all the CDs we've seen you been buying on the show,
gone.
They're all going into the box, into storage.
They're all going to Easy Storage Wembley.
Oh, great. A great spot. Going to those storage locations is one of the weirdest, most sort of soul. I don't know, damaging experiences. It's a prison for objects, isn't it? And there's these hangers and there's just endless corridors with these tiny little compartments full of lives.
Yeah.
All these things.
And all that stuff. So it went into storage then and then we moved house. We bought a house in our weird new build village that wasn't finished. We went out and rented in Oxfordshire for like 8 months.
Yeah.
So that stuff was in storage for over a year.
Wow.
In the end. And it all came back. We moved in and I was like, why?
Yeah.
And now it's just in a garage.
That is interesting, isn't
it? And you're just like, why did we keep any of it? As soon as it went into storage and we'd forgotten about it, we didn't need it.
So there's an argument for pressing pause on these items and just coming into someone's house and going, look, I'm going to take these away.
Yeah.
This is the new version of the feeling joy thing, which everyone went mad for.
Yeah.
Right, we'll just take away five boxes of stuff. Let's see if you miss it.
Tell me what's in them in 6 months.
Oh, that's good.
And if you can remember it, you can have it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because I'm a real thrower. Like I'll sell, I'll get rid of stuff. I love doing that.
Mm-hmm.
Sam, not so much.
Right.
Like when we moved, we're going through stuff. We've moved into it, like from a 2-bed flat to a big house.
Oh.
And we filled it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I was like, where the fuck was it all?
Mm-hmm.
In the last, how? What is all this?
But you always feel your surroundings, don't you?
You just grow into it. And like we've got, you know, like clothes are the problem at the moment in our house. Because my girlfriend is a model. She's in fashion.
Yes.
So she has shed loads of clothes.
Okay.
And I'm going, get rid of it all.
Vinted
will make a fortune.
Oh my God. You're sitting on a fortune. And you're a tycoon, as discussed earlier. Where is Vinted Tycoon?
Vinted Tycoon. Well, it's an app, so it technically is a game,
isn't it? Yeah, that's how you should think about it.
It's a dopamine hit.
Whenever
you
do a thing like Vinted, you don't do Vinted, you play Vinted.
Yeah, absolutely.
Find us on YouTube and don't forget to leave a review at my main border toaster. You'll feel a little closer when you subscribe and rate and review. To my mate Porter Toaster. And don't forget to say something nice.
So we're in 2022. You've put your items in storage. There's loads of purchases you've made here. We have got the Catmate pet water fountain for cats and small dogs.
Oh, yeah. That's when our cats started to get real luxury items from us.
Mm-hmm.
He's got a water fountain because he won't drink still. It's got to be running for him to drink it.
The water's got to be moving.
Yeah, he loves drinking out the tap, won't drink out of a bowl. So we bought him a little cat fountain.
Is he like part mountain goat or something?
No, he's just a really precocious cat. Spoilt.
This water might be stale.
He's got dink parents, so
Oh, you are dink. You're so dinky.
We're so dinks.
Oh, I really can't. Listen, getting slightly older, you getting older is pleasing me. When you get kids, I'm gonna have a Schadenfreude orgasm. 4th of March 2022, Manscaped electric groin hair trimmer.
Yep.
Got to look after the pubes.
Well, also, that was an influenced purchase. Like, you know when you see something on Instagram and you go and buy it?
What, someone's pubes?
Yeah, yeah, I bought... Well, look, the pandemic has been hard on all of us. We've got to sell things we don't want to sell. If Vinted isn't working, I've got a weird guy on Twitter.
He loved me on The X Factor.
Oh, yeah, and he wants some pubes.
Simon Cowell remembers me now.
I had a man that for years used to offer me 10 grand for a pair of dirty socks. And I'd be like, this is mad. I'm not interested. Like, I just wouldn't reply all the time. He'd be like, I'll give you 10 grand for a pair of dirty socks.
Yeah. Yes.
Well, but the thing is, I just went, oh, he doesn't mean it, whatever. And then he got back in touch after I'd sort of like done less, when I was doing less telly, he got back in touch, 500 quid. I was like, oh my God, that's when you know your profile's dropped.
Oh my God.
Like, that was a real...
That is almost like...
That was the career wake-up call I didn't want.
That's like a sort of laundry Bitcoin warning.
I had a man who got in touch recently and was like, can you send me some dirty socks? No money. He didn't want money. He just wanted, can you do it for me? And I just went, I'm really sorry, I'm not interested. And he went, worth a shot. He was so polite. He was like, worth a shot.
Take care.
Yeah, yeah.
Wow.
No problem, worth a shot.
10 grand, do you regret not doing it?
Yes. Because he came back with a low ball offer. I'm like, he meant it. He wanted 10 grand. I'd have done it.
That would be another low point, wouldn't it? If you start negotiating with someone as to how much your dirty pants are worth.
Yeah, come on, man. I've just done Celebrity Mastermind. Like, it's 1,500 quid, surely.
I wore these pants when I was doing it.
Yeah, yeah.
Hence the staining. So. Like,
come on. You know, these pants have been on Coach Trip. Come on, mate.
I love it. It's at least 200 quid. Fuck, this is good stuff. Elsewhere in 2022, lots of pet stuff.
Yeah.
Concorde, the rise and fall of the supersonic airliner.
For Mastermind.
Oh.
Concorde was my specialist subject on Mastermind.
And how did you do?
I came second. I was really miffed by a point.
Oh.
But the thing is, I did Concorde, right? Like a piece of engineering.
Mm.
And the person who won, Sarah, who is a weather woman, weather person.
She didn't do weather, did she?
No, she did the film Labyrinth.
Right.
And I just think, like, so her questions were things like, When did Labyrinth come out?
What do you remind me of? The Babe.
Yeah, exactly. Yes. Which singer was in Labyrinth?
Did you bring this up on the show? Because I'm always surprised at how sporting people are on those shows.
No, I was really... Because I thought I'd won when we were sat there, because I had a cracking general knowledge.
Yeah.
And so I was like, I think I've won this. And then they announced her. So I wasn't going, oh, she's done me. I was just like... It wasn't until afterwards I was like, what the... Like I was in shell-shocked.
I wouldn't be able to take it well. I think more open fury on those sort of... Nice, friendly shows.
And then you all have dinner together afterwards because it's in Belfast and there's nowhere else. So you're like, well done. Yeah, I really sulked. Just good. So happy that Yvette Fielding did so terribly.
Oh, good. Yeah, that's nice to know. Yeah. Former guest on the podcast. Do listen to it. It's absolutely crazy. 17th of April, 2022, Anasol suppositories for treatments of hemorrhoids.
Well, that's taught me to not go to a pharmacy, hasn't it? I had some hemorrhoids.
Yep. Pharmacies on the high street are struggling because of Amazon. Now, you'll never do that again.
But it's embarrassing by either in a pharmacy. But then it's more embarrassing than doing a podcast about Amazon.
I've never had a hemorrhoid.
It was a very stressful time. I was moving house.
Mm-hmm.
I've had them a few times. Like, they're not fun.
Why are they connected to stress? Because you push harder when you're pooing.
No, they're just one of those things that they think are caused by stress. Like, I always get loads of stomach problems when I'm stressed.
This is interesting.
Yeah,
this
I'm
is
a interesting. Stomach guy.
Where does it go when you're stressed?
My bum.
Right. Like I'm a neck guy.
Are you really? Mm. I'm a like, have loads of bowel problems when I'm stressed.
Interesting.
That time, around that time as well, I went for my first colonoscopy.
Oh.
I got recognised at my colonoscopy. Like, not like they saw and he went, I've seen this arsehole before. No, like, I got there.
That's what Simon Cowell said.
Yeah, exactly. I remember when I saw this and I gave you a job. So I got there at the hospital. A bit embarrassed you go for a colonoscopy, a bit nervous.
You mustn't be, you shouldn't be. If you think you need one, you have to go.
Absolutely.
But of course human nature kicks in.
And I was very happy I went for one because they let you watch the screen.
And now I've got an image of them putting it on the screens in the reception.
Because they give you like some diazepam or whatever to like mellow you out.
Yeah.
And so you're quite chill and you're watching the inside of your own arsehole.
Yeah,
and there's a bit when they get the camera and they flip it round to look at the other side of your sphincter. Oh. That's fun. But the guy...
Can I just say, I'm sitting like this.
Yeah,
I'm genuinely doing this.
But the guy, two things happened. One, the doctor went, textbook colon.
And I was like, very much.
And I was like, are they only in textbooks if there's something wrong with them? So I'm a bit nervous. And the second thing was I got there and I fill out the form and you sort of all sat in a room, quite a big waiting room, probably like 20 people in there. It's quite a big waiting room. Everyone's sort of like nervous about whatever procedure they're in for. Right?
Of course, yeah.
And I gave him my form and he goes, Matt Richardson. He goes, the comedian Matt Richardson.
That loudly?
Yeah, I was the other side of the room. And I went, yes. Yes,
I'm not sure how professional that is.
I think that's a GDPR
I'm
issue.
I'm getting struck off vibes here.
Yeah. Just the receptionist. He was like some young guy. He's like, the comedian. I was like, Richardson. Yeah.
Anyone want a selfie?
I dream for these moments. This is the only time I don't want it.
Yeah. Why can't this happen on a tube? Why can't this happen on a first date?
Yeah. Nightmare.
When you are about to have a pipe shoved up your bum.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's me, guys. Wow.
Yeah, not ideal.
Not a place to get recognised. Unbelievable. But everything, textbook arsehole.
Fine, everything was perfect.
I will put that in the episode description. Matt Richardson, textbook arsehole.
There are many comedians that would agree with that sentence
exactly
without
so.
Knowing the context.
Look, what we're going to do, Matt, we're going to go to the last order, the most recent order.
Most recent order.
We have to knock this on the head.
Okay.
I don't want to.
No, it's a shame.
But I've got someone else coming in. I've got to look at another arsehole in a minute. Final item. This was bought a few days ago. Your only item so far in 2024, Matt Richardson.
Go on.
Let's see if we can extrapolate meaning and an interpretation of your personality from these last items, right? To sort of finish off the voyage. Waterproof ski gloves.
Yeah.
And a wireless controller for the PS4.
Yes. So, I've just been skiing.
Mm-hmm.
I went to do, last week, I was skiing. Yep. I did some gigs in France, in the
lovely.
Alps.
Oh, lovely.
Dream.
I mean, amazing.
Got taken skiing for a week to go and do two gigs, where I had to do 10 minutes at each gig.
Are you joking?
Nope.
10 minutes?
10 minutes. Catered chalet, six of us, eight of us went with our partners, paid for our partners to ski.
Who? What?
Think they're laundering money.
What? Yeah. That is... Where was this? Was it a Saudi Arabian mountain?
Yeah. We went skiing on sand dunes, I forgot to say.
There it is.
Yeah, sand skiing. So I've just been skiing. I'm a really good skier. I've skied since I was five.
Okay.
It's the only thing I'm good at, sport-wise.
Oh, right, okay.
Which is such a middle-class thing.
Yes, it's very hard with skiing. I mean, tiny violins and everything, or probably violas if we're being middle-class. It's very hard to get sympathy when people say, what sport have you got? I love skiing and golf, and some, you know, and I like watching rugby union.
Can you ski?
Yeah, I've similarly, and I'm reticent to say it because we're the class shame.
It's embarrassing. There are two things I hate telling people, that I can ski and that my girlfriend's a model, because they're both things that people go, well, you're an arsehole then, aren't you?
Lead on the colonoscopy.
You lead on the, yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
I had a cancer scare. There we go. Get them soft first.
What
you
need to do, just open, right? Whenever you chat to anyone, just say, I was presenting a national drive time show on the radio, and when I wasn't doing that, I was in my room flying imaginary flights to New York.
Flying imaginary planes and shitting blood.
I feel like that's a sentence to end the episode on, really. I feel like that's where we have to end, surely.
Flying planes and shitting blood. That's my new show. I'm going to call it that.
Oh, my God. I think Jim Jefferies has already done that one. Matt Richardson, I adore you. I'm so sorry I haven't seen you for ages.
It's been so lovely.
It's been really nice to catch up with you. This has been as funny as I knew it would be. Matt, you're absolutely brilliant. Tell us about the podcast you've got going on.
Yes, I've got a podcast called I Am Prime Minister, where we have guests on and they tell us what they would do if they woke up as Prime Minister.
Uh-huh.
Like what they would do, their first things they want to do.
Right, okay.
So it's been very good. We've had Rosie Jones, Will Best, Russell Cain,
great.
Alex Jones.
Great.
Yes, fantastic. I really like it. So excellent. Please do listen.
Okay. Matt Richardson, thanks for coming on My Mobile Toaster. Hooray! Thank you, mate.
That was great. Oh, mate, I really enjoyed that.
The wonder that is Matthew Richardson. And that completes today's episode. So there's some other bits of Matt up at our Patreon. That's patreon.com/toasterpod. You can find full episodes with no adverts up there. And we'll be getting next week's episode up there very soon as well. Next week's episode, Emmanuel Sanubi is going to be coming on. He's a brilliant stand-up comedian. Very, very funny man. And the first item I asked him about, the first item I spotted unleashed a 15-minute life-changing story. It was extraordinary. That is Emmanuel Sanubi, who I'm going to be chatting to next week. We've got some really exciting guests coming up in the next few weeks, including, can I tell you this now? Can I drop this intel now? Catherine Ryan is coming on the show, and I am very, very excited about that. So, there you go. My Mate Bought a Toaster. Lots more episodes still to come in the next few weeks. Thank you so much for listening. Thank you if you've had time to enter the competition and write a nice review of the show on your podcast platform. If you haven't, not too late. We've got a couple more weeks of it. So why not go and write us a review? Follow us on all our social media sites. Is it a social media site? Is it a handle or a hashtag? I don't know. At ToasterPod on Instagram and TikTok. At HotUKDeals. Give them a follow, please, on TikTok. And then give us a review. And I will pick a winner next week of a Nespresso Virtuo Next Machine. And that's it for now. All the best. Kind regards. Lots of love.